fine until I saw the Eastoffs. The Northcotts were with them, perhaps saying their goodbyes, and I was thankful to know at least that Eton was leaving the country. But I caught sight of Silas's blue eyes, and my mind jumped forward, imagining children with those perfect eyes and my olive skin. Those children, they would have been mine. I hurried from the room before anyone could see how violently I was crying. Chapter 22. After the Isolde court left, I found it nearly impossible not to look into the eyes of every child I passed, curious about their families, their futures. Funny enough, it was the boys who always stood a little closer to their parents, either looking apprehensive or standing tall as if they were on guard. Most of the girls did as Delia Grace and I had done. Find a friend to hold close, take in the excitement together, and wait to see what adventures life at court brought for you. That was how it always felt when we twirled around each other on the dance floor or paraded around the palace on the holy days. It was a marvelous adventure. And I had pitied those girls in the country, the ones out working the land owned by our families, who would never know the feeling of satin or be lifted off their feet in the middle of a volta. After the shock of being given the queen's apartments wore off, I'd felt untouchable, like I'd finally proven wrong everyone who ever doubted me, showing my worth to the world as it was measured by the love of a king. I had it all. And yet, when Jameson placed a ring on my finger and a crown on my head, I knew it would feel as if I'd lost everything. "My lady?" a concerned voice asked. I looked up to find Lord Eastoff and his entire family crossing down the hallway toward the Great Hall. I realized I'd stopped to study a family as a father pointed out a beautiful arch in the castle ceiling. I shook my head, blushing as I stepped out of the way. "Are you troubled?" "No," I lied, trying to keep my eyes from settling on Silas too long. "I suppose after all the excitement of the recent company, I'm just a little low." He smiled. "In my younger years, I experienced that feeling more than once," he commented, sharing a knowing look with his wife. Lady Eastoff looked at me warmly. There was something about her that made me want to rush into her arms. She'd fled her country, presumably for the sake of her children. If I told her mine would be used as pawns in state affairs, she'd understand my pain. "Don't worry, my Lady Hollis," she said. "Crowning day is on the horizon, yes? Scarlett's eager to come and practice the dance soon, so there are still celebrations to look forward to." I forced a smile and nodded. "Thank you, my lady. There is a lot of preparation for crowning day yet to do. I will send word soon, Scarlett. I think some dancing would do us all good." Between Scarlett's all-seeing eyes, Lady Eastoff's concerned smile, and Silas's continued gazing at the floor, I guessed at least half of the family knew I was drowning in sadness, and none of us could really talk about it.
"I'll be waiting," Scarlett said with a brief curtsy.
I nodded in reply and continued on my way. I fought the urge and lost. Halfway down the hall, I looked back. Silas was watching me. He gave me a small smile, and I did the same in turn. And then we both kept walking.
"Dear Valentina, you have been gone only a few days, and I already find myself longing for your company. I'm still quite overwhelmed by that contract. It made me aware of just how true everything you'd said was. Love might have gotten me to Jameson, but this life will not be as easy as I'd first hoped. After hearing how you came to the crown, I can't imagine anyone gave you lessons in being queen. But if so, could you pass any of that wisdom on to me? Since you've left, I feel like I'm sinking in."
"What are you writing?" Delia Grace walked past my desk, a little too close for comfort.
I crumpled up the paper.
Nothing.
I couldn't send that to Valentina. I knew she'd understand, but I needed a way to ask that wouldn't sound so pathetic if someone else got a hold of it.
Are you well? Delia Grace asked. You look as pale as any sultan.
She smiled at her own joke.
I feel a little tired. Perhaps all those days of entertaining finally caught up with me. You can lie to anyone else you like, Hollis, but you're wasting your time when it comes to me.
I looked up at her, and she was standing there with an eyebrow raised and a hand on her hip. Fine. It's just... I thought I could turn being queen into something beautiful and fun. It seems being queen is twisting me instead. I don't think I care for it. She lowered her face to mine.
You are going to have to find a way to deal with it. You've got it better than so many others. Your marriage isn't arranged to some stranger. Your parents aren't sending you to a different country. You're not 12, for crying out loud.
I sighed. I knew that others had it worse than I did in the husband department, but that didn't make my own ache any less real. I toyed with the golden dice sitting out on my table.
Did you feel sad for Valentina then? I asked.
She spurted out a laugh.
Didn't you? With that old prune for a husband?
But was that all that made it so bad?
Didn't you see that for all she had, she was lonely? Sad?
Jameson loves me, and he will treat me better than Quentin treats her, but there are so many other little things I never considered. I'm just... What if, once he's older and his love has cooled, all I'm left with is feeling like I'm another possession of the state? A crown jewel locked up in a room with no windows, only taken out when the people need their spirits lifted and good for little else. After a long pause, I turned to look at her, to gather her assessment of the idea, but all I found were her accusing eyes.
Don't do this, she said. If you fail, you drag me down too. I can't stand for it, Hollis, I won't.
Would you ask me to be miserable so you can marry some reputable lord you don't even care about so people will finally shut up about you?
Yes! It's exhausting, she lamented, bordering on tears that she refused to let fall. I've lived an entire life with people whispering behind my back, and that was if they weren't brazen enough to insult me to my face. Now I'm the principal lady for the queen, and that gives me a chance at being respected. Wouldn't you take it if it was all you could get?
What if we could get something better? I proposed.
Better than a king? Hollis, you can't do any better than that. And I certainly can't do anything if you don't follow through.
She was quiet for a moment.
What in the world has happened to you? What would make you think, is there someone else?
No, I replied quickly. It's the thought of losing myself. The benefits of being queen are not lost on me, but neither are the ones of being a private person. First, it was the lords and their many complaints, and then it was dealing with visiting royals, and now... Jameson's promised our first daughter away. I swallowed, hardly able to speak of it. He could give all my children away, to anyone, to people who don't even care about them. She inhaled deeply and allowed me to calm myself. Each challenge on its own is nothing too much to bear, but piling them on one after another, I don't know if I can take it. She shook her head and started muttering.
It should have been me.
What? She stood there, glaring at me with dark eyes that managed to look icy.
I said, it should have been me.
She started walking away, deeper into the apartments as if they were hers. I hopped up to follow her.
What are you talking about? She rounded back on me, leaning forward, as angry as I'd ever seen her. If you had been paying attention to anyone but yourself, you'd have seen that I was watching Jameson very carefully. I could see he was getting bored with Hannah. I knew he'd be ready for someone new soon. All these little rudimentary lessons you were taking to prepare for Quentin's visit, I've already learned it all. There are plenty of books in that castle to teach you about Garoan history or relations with Isolde and Moorland and Catal. You were just too lazy to ever go look. She shook her head, gazing at the sky before coming back to me. Did you know I can speak 4 languages?
4?
No. When did you? Over the last several years, while you were off making dances and whining about your parents. All you ever had to do was try, and you didn't. But I did. I was perfecting myself. You don't even look like a proper Garoan, she shot out. Excuse me? Everyone talks about it, about your wheat-colored hair. You've got Isolde in your blood. That or Beniarion, that's part of why the lords complain. If he is going to marry a Garoan, she ought to look the part. And if he's going to marry a foreigner, he ought to marry someone who could offer something to the crown. My eyes were stinging. Well, there's nothing you can do about it, I spat. It was destiny that made me fall into his arms. Ah! She countered. No, it was my bad timing. I let go of your arms that night, Hollis.
No.
We both... I was trying to make you fall on your backside so I could rush over to your aid. I saw the king coming behind you and was intending to arrange a memorable meeting, one where he might be able to tell me apart from the scores of girls fawning over him. I thought if I could make an impression, he'd at least see me. But I let go at the wrong time, fell myself, and he caught you. She said this with the bitterness that stung like arrows. I made a mistake and erased myself from his thoughts completely. She raised a hand to her mouth, still looking like she might cry, but never actually allowing the tears to fall. I was too stunned to respond. I knew she had designs for a better life, but I didn't know how high they went. I didn't know they meant to bypass me entirely. But then her eyes met mine, softer than before. Sad, desperate. I found myself feeling sorry for her more than angry at her. Why didn't you say anything? You're clever enough that we could have turned his head. She shrugged. I thought I'd have my chance when he got bored with you, as he seemed to do with all the ladies before, but then, the way he kept looking at you, I could tell something was happening, and then what could I have said? You have been my closest friend. When everyone was muttering that I was a bastard, you ignored them. You stayed with me. It was the least I could do for you. I told myself that helping you would be like winning myself. That's why I worked my way into place as your lady as quickly as I could. It would be my only chance to rise up with you. But you don't even want it. And watching you be exalted while I've become your attendant is harder than I thought it would be. I never meant to exalt myself, I replied sincerely, finally understanding why she'd been so on edge these last weeks. I crossed the space between us, taking her hand. And you aren't a servant to me. You are my oldest, truest friend. You know more about me than anyone, and I trust you with all my secrets. She shook her head. Not all of them. Again, her eyes were searching mine, going deeper than most, trying to see what I was too frightened to show. I know you've been hiding something, and I can't figure out what's made you suddenly want to abandon the goal every eligible woman in Koroa was aiming for. If you were standing where I am, you would understand. It's terrifying to discover that freedom is not what you thought. That love is not what you thought. When she spoke next, I couldn't pinpoint her tone.
something between sympathy and anger, never really falling into one or the other.
But isn't this worth it? Would you rather be the scandal of court? If you leave him now, you will ruin me, and worst of all, you will destroy Jameson.
I stared off, weighing everything in my head, knowing there was no real way to win. Either I had what I wanted, or everyone else had what they did.
You're actually considering?
Delia Gray shook her head and went to leave.
Wait, I commanded her. It was a credit to Jameson's taste in women that I possessed the tenor to make her obey. She turned around with a huff.
Of course, I'm marrying Jameson. For a long time now, there's been no other choice for me. So, if Jameson has settled upon me, then you must already have an alternate in mind. You've planned everything else, so give me a name. She squinted at me.
What do you mean?
Who do you want? She didn't have to think.
Alistair Farrow. Good estate, a respected name, but not so high up that he'd be in a position to turn me down should you arrange something.
Do you love him?
Oh, don't be stupid, Hollis. Love is the final course at a feast that I'm still waiting to be invited to.
I nodded. Then it's done. I pressed non-existent wrinkles out of my dress and went back to my stack of papers, still unsure of what to say to Valentina.
Wait, Hollis?
I looked to Delia Grace, who was standing there, bewildered.
What about Jameson? Do you love him?
In a way, I admitted. I love that he is happier when I'm near. And even if my parents are disappointed in me, I love them. And even if you're angry with me, I love you. With everything that's happened, I love you. There was silence and a decade of memories floating between us. Beyond anyone, Delia Grace had supported and cared for me through every moment of the last 10 years. She had a most precious place in my heart. So, it's time to let everything else go. And when Jameson proposes, I will marry. For love. Chapter 23.
Crowning day,
Nora said, bursting into the room later that same afternoon.
He's proposing on crowning day, after the ceremony.
Are you sure? I asked. She nodded, crossing to Delia Grace.
Lord Warrington's wife said her husband has been whining about it in private. She's quite supportive of you, actually, but Lord Warrington thinks that Jameson should marry for international advantage. Well, he's in the minority now. Ever since that stunt with Valentina and the Crowns, everyone started backing Hollis.
Delia Grace's words were tinged with sadness, though nothing that sounded bitter. It was much easier to be around her now, knowing everything.
The sooner the king proposes, the better. Once you're queen, no one in their right mind will oppose you, she said to me, adding a tiny smile at the end.
Nora came over and grabbed my hands.
Congratulations, she said, tilting her head.
That's very sweet, but maybe let's wait for the actual ring. She laughed, then sighed, pulling her hands back.
So that's 2 days away. We need to finally get the dance together and put the finishing touches on your dress. I wonder if the king will send more jewels for you.
I turned back to the mirror as she went on with her list of wonders and concerns. I sat as Delia Grace brushed my hair out, neither of us quite able to muster any excitement.
And 1, 2, 3, turn!
Delia Grace called, spinning back to back with Nora. With all that we had to do for the recent visit from King Quentin, there was no time left to prepare for crowning day the way I would have in the past. In the end, the dance was mostly pieces from ones we already knew but arranged differently. Not even Delia Grace, with all her skills, could combat time. Still, it would be pretty, and everyone was moving together so nicely. Scarlett was with me, turning to the bright sound of the violin.
"Are you having fun?"
I asked, though her wide smile gave her away completely.
"I am. I miss many things about home," she began. "The food, the scent of the air. But I do love that you all dance here almost nightly. Back in Iseult, we only dance on special days, for tournaments and things."
"Well, you're a Karoan now," I said, touching her wrist to mine and walking in a circle. "We'll have to catch you up on years and years of dancing, though maybe Delia Grace would be a better instructor. She's always been the superior dancer." Delia Grace gave us a thin smile before doing her next steps.
"Not quite good enough," she mumbled.
Scarlett looked at me with questioning eyes, but I just shook my head. It was far too much to explain, especially considering the role her brother played in it all. We went through, step by step, making sure everyone knew the moves by heart. All eyes would be on us, so we couldn't make a mistake. Luckily for us, Scarlett was a natural. Though we had to go over steps multiple times for her to commit them to memory, when she performed them, there was an easy grace to the movements.
"So beautiful, Scarlett. You made me think you danced so rarely that you might struggle. The way you move your hands is particularly lovely."
"Thank you," she said as we moved. "Honestly, I think it may come from using a sword."
"Your brother didn't mention your skill with a sword," I commented, still going through the steps. If he had, I would have remembered. I'd been working hard to banish Silas Eastoff from my thoughts, but I couldn't forget all our tiny moments together, all the things he'd said. If pressed, I could recall the entirety of our conversations.
"Practicing moving in a gown with a heavy piece of metal in your hand will make you light on your feet,"
I laughed. "I suppose. Come to think of it, Silas danced with me recently, and he did a wonderful job."
"Stop talking about him, Hollis. It isn't helping."
"Perhaps it's also a family trait."
"Perhaps," she spun around. "My family is very important to me. We're all we have left now."
There was something slightly accusatory in her tone.
"That's not true. You're doing so well."
She shook her head as we went through the moves a final time.
"You must realize we are not completely welcome here. Our former king views us as traitors. We have to work now, which is fine, but new. No one outside our family truly understands what we're going through. I wouldn't want anyone hurting my family, even if it came from a place of love."
She looked up at me from under blonde lashes, her eyes pleading. I swallowed. I wondered if he told or if she just knew. Scarlett and Delia Grace seemed to have a skill for that, for knowing things. I spoke softly, hoping the violin would mask my words.
"Please believe me when I say I would never intentionally hurt your family. Intent doesn't matter if it happens anyway."
I inhaled sharply, looking around to make sure no one was within earshot.
"You have nothing to worry about. Besides, I've learned that Jameson plans to propose at the celebration for crowning day."
She sighed in relief.
"Well, that's good. And we'll be leaving soon after anyway."
I dropped my hands.
"What?"
Delia Grace and Nora went through the moves, though their eyes were decidedly fixed on us. Scarlett looked at their curious faces before turning back to me.
I told you," she began quietly. "That was always the plan. We want to live a quiet life, a life that belongs to us. Finally."
She breathed the last word as if she were very tired.
"Since we arrived, we've been making inquiries for property, and we found a manor with good lands out in the country. We've been receiving commissions for work, and it looks like we'd be able to support ourselves, with or without income from the land. We're leaving,
I clutched my hands in front of me and worked to pull a smile to my face. Valentina made me aware of how strenuous court life in Isolde can be. It's no wonder you long for the peace of the country. How lucky am I to get to show you off at least once before you go? Come, let's finish our practice. I was exhausted, unable to put anything into the dance beyond the basic moves. And once we finished, I wordlessly walked through my apartments to the back rooms. I'd never done anything like that before, and everyone was wise enough to understand that meant I didn't want to be followed. Settling in on a seat beneath the window, I looked out over the river, over the sprawling city, to the plains in the distance as far as my eyes would reach. Somewhere past that line, the Eastoffs would make their home. I told myself this was a good thing. If Silas left, it would remove all temptation to speak to him, to ruin the brightest thing in my life. It would make it so much easier to see Jameson anew, to remember how he loved to lavish me with gifts and affection. This was someone removing my shoe and taking the pebble out. I would walk steadier from here on out. So it made no sense that I sat there, taking in the best view the palace could offer, crying until my tears ran dry. Chapter 24. When I woke up on crowning day, it didn't feel like it usually did. It was so very average. Plain weather, plain sun, plain me.
Hollis,
Delia Gray said quietly, pulling back the curtains on my poster bed.
You have a delivery.
What?
My guess is it's for tonight. No ordinary old headdress would do for you, would it?
She said, a pang of longing bleeding into her voice. With a sad but resolute smile, she held out a hand to help me from the bed.
Have you opened the box yet?
She shook her head.
It's only just arrived, and we'd never open something for you, my lady.
I gave her a weak smile.
Very well.
She held out a robe and I stepped into it. Let's go take a look, I said, as I marched over and opened the box. The sight of the three perfect crowns set in black velvet was enough to leave me breathless. I ran my fingers over them, taking in how unique they were. The first was mostly gold and looked similar to the crown of Estus, while the other two were much more bejeweled. The second was primarily covered in rubies that suited Corroan red, and the final was much more pointed and covered in diamonds.
The third is my favorite,
Nora insisted.
But you'd look stunning in any of them. What do you think, Hollis?
Delia Grace asked.
The first one looks like
the crown of Estus, I finished. I thought that too.
You'd match. That sends a message.
It certainly would. But I smiled to myself, remembering an old conversation with Silas. There was a language to our clothes, our choices, one others could choose to listen to or ignore. I won't be wearing any of these. Don't send them back, though, I ordered. I want my choice to be a surprise.
The jealous side of me is reluctant to admit this, Delia Grace began, but I think you may stop hearts tonight.
Do you like it?
It suits you. Better than any of those stuffy crowns would have, for sure.
She moved beside me to look in the mirror, and I couldn't help but think she was right. This was me. Silas had once made a joke about me belonging in a crown of flowers, and now I was wearing the biggest and most fragrant blooms I could find atop my head. I'd even managed to stick a few pins with jewels on it to hold it to my hair, and they caught the light, making it all the more special. I didn't think I'd ever love a crown as much as this one, and I'd only be able to wear it once. Beside me, I could see Delia Grace's shoulders sinking. She, too, had flowers in her hair, though none quite so dazzling as mine. It was yet another instance where Delia Grace was forced to accept having things one step below mine. I thought it must really be bothering her now, in the moment she had to accept her hopes for the crown were truly over. "I need you to know," I said, "that if your plan had worked, if it had been you, I'd have done my absolute best to attend you. Though I don't think anyone could have done what you have in these last few weeks. Honestly, Delia Grace, I'll never be able to thank you enough." She rested her head against mine. "Just wrap Lord Pharaoh in a nice big ribbon, and that'll do." I giggled. "Absolutely. If I can, I'll see that you are married before I am."
"You will?"
"You've spent a long time waiting for things to happen. So long as you're pleased with them, I can't see a reason to wait." She crushed me in a hug, her eyes welling up. I hadn't seen her cry since we were 13, after a particularly terrible bout of being teased. She vowed after that no one would see her cry again. If she'd ever so much as let a tear slip, I never knew about it. The moment was broken by Mother marching through the door, still refusing to knock. "What in the world are you wearing?" My face fell instantly. "What's wrong?" I looked back at the mirror, turning to take in every angle. "Take those flowers off your head. You're a lady. You need to be wearing a proper crown for crowning day." She pointed to her own head, where she was wearing a small crown that had been passed down through the generations of the Parth family. It was not so grand as the one she'd lost, but it was old, and that would do. I sighed. "Oh, is that all? I chose these on purpose." "Well, take them off on purpose." She walked back to the receiving area, knowing exactly what was in the box on my table. "King Jameson sent you perfectly gorgeous crowns. Just look at this," she said, holding up the one encrusted with rubies. "It's beautiful, Mother, but it's not for me." She set it back down. "No, no, come and look again. The lords won't like this at all." She grabbed me by the arm and pulled me over to the box. "I don't care what they think of me." And I didn't say it, but I didn't care much what Jameson thought either. "You should. The king needs them, and you need the king." "No, I don't. I just can't do—" "Hollis, you will listen to me." I took her by the shoulders, forcing her to look into my eyes and speaking with a calm, steady voice. "I know exactly who I am, and I'm content with it." I touched her cheek. "You're my mother. I wish you could be content with me, too." Her eyes darted all around my face as if she were seeing me, truly seeing me, for the very first time. Maybe I only imagined the tears in her eyes, but her tone was much softer when she finally answered me. "I suppose they look right on you." "Oh, are there jewels in there too?" "Yes. Do you like them?" I did a turn so they could all catch the light. She nodded, a whisper of a smile on her face. "Yes, I think I do." Delia Grace clapped her hands. "Come on, ladies, we can't have our future queen arriving late." "Are you staying with me or going with Father?" I asked. Mother still looked stunned. "I'll be with your father, but we'll see you in there." I nodded as she made her way from the room, and I turned to make sure my dress was straight. "We are ready when you are, my lady," Delia Grace said. And with a nod, I marched us toward the great room. The feeling of entering the hall on crowning day was similar to that of the day King Quentin had come, with so many people sighing and staring as I sauntered past. I did feel beautiful tonight, the most like myself I had in ages. I think it showed. I made my way to the front of the room, as I knew Jameson would expect me there for the ceremony. I supposed most kings didn't have their fathers present for their own crowning days, but he also had no mother, no siblings. He was the last of his line until he produced heirs, and that was all dependent upon me. I made sure to stand where his family would have been if they could have been there. Maybe it didn't quite feel that way yet, like we were family, but we would be soon. Tonight, Jameson would be symbolically recrowned with the same ancient crown used on Estus. The nobles who had their own crowns were wearing them, and most women were bedecked with jewels to mimic the appearance. After a short ceremony, we would celebrate with dancing. It was easily the most exciting night of the year, because it didn't end until dawn. Crowning day had its roots in something very sacred, but it was more like a free-for-all for as long as I'd been alive. Of course Jameson wanted to propose today. It forced the entire country to celebrate it too, whether they intended to or not. The trumpets played, and I pushed my cynicisms aside, ready to be as queen-like as I could. A hush fell over the room as the boys in red robes came out ringing their bells. Jameson followed, wearing a heavy fur robe that trailed 10 feet behind him. He was followed by the holy man, who was gingerly holding the crown of Estus. The boys parted, and Jameson walked up the center aisle they created, taking a seat on the throne. The holy man stopped at the base of the throne, holding the crown aloft. In perfect unison, the bell stopped.
"People of Kuroa," the holy man intoned, "let us rejoice. For 162 years, we have had one faithful ruler, a descendant of Estus the Great. Today, we honor King Jameson Cadius Barclay, son of Marcellus, son of Talao, son of Shane, son of Presley, son of Klaus, son of Leeson, son of Estus. Above all people, we are the happiest, for we celebrate a long and happy reign of the most powerful family on the continent. Let us today renew our devotion to King Jameson and pray for his life to extend for many years, and for his heirs to be plenty."
"Amen," the room chanted, as Jameson looked ever so slightly to his right, knowing I would be there. The holy man set the crown upon his head, and the room erupted in applause. Once that was done, Jameson smiled at the holy man, murmuring words of thanks before standing and raising his hands to silence the room.
"Good people, I thank you for trusting me to lead you. I know I am a young king, and my reign to date is short. But above any king on the continent, I am devoted to your happiness and the peace of our land. I pray for our kingdom to prosper. I will continue living my life for our country, which is growing not only as our own people make their families, but as others choose to join us," he said, gesturing to the back of the room.
I followed his hand, and many of the families who'd come from neighboring countries were gathered together there, including the Eastoffs.
"And for tonight, this is certainly a reason to celebrate," he cried. "Music!"
And the people cheered, and the musicians began to play. And while the lords enveloped the king, I stared at the back of the room. Chapter 25. My eyes stayed locked with Silas Eastoff's as the room swirled to life around us. I'd seen him dressed in his best before, but he seemed particularly handsome tonight. The Eastoffs, understanding the occasion, were wearing crowns of their own, and I couldn't help but wonder if they were heirlooms of their long family lines or creations they'd made themselves. Around me, people embraced and complimented each other's gowns. People cheered, already managing to find large cups of ale to toast the king, the country, the knight, anything, really. But my eyes were only for Silas, and his were for me. He swallowed, looking outwardly how I felt inwardly, decimated with longing for something I could not have.
Hollis!
I finally snapped at Delia Grace calling my name.
There you are! We've been looking for you!
Had I moved? How much time had passed?
The king is asking for you, she said pointedly.
I took some deep breaths, trying to bring myself back to my senses. Yes, of course. Lead the way, won't you? I slipped my hand into Delia Grace's, and she walked me to the front of the room. I could feel her eyes coming back to me, inspecting. She knew my reservations, of course, and I sensed she could tell there was something more happening. There were so many people around us that she didn't dare ask, but instead faithfully delivered me to Jameson.
You are perfection brought to life, the king said, holding out his arms to greet me.
I noted the chalice in his hand, Amber L spilling from one side.
I absolutely love the flowers. Are they glittering?
Yes.
Amazing. Lord Allingham, did you see Sweet Hollis's flowers? Aren't they beautiful?
He didn't wait for an answer, but lowered his voice to continue talking to me.
We'll have to do this for the wedding, don't you think?
His tone was higher than I'd ever heard it before, trilling into a frenzy.
You are giddy, my lord.
He laughed wildly.
I am! Oh, I'm having the best of days, aren't you?
My lips may have been trembling when I answered.
Every day is the best one I've had until I meet tomorrow.
He gracelessly brushed my hair back.
For you, I believe that's true. So beautiful. You will look so lovely with your face printed on a coin, don't you think? I've decided you will be on a coin, by the way. Are you well? You seem out of sorts.
I couldn't guess how my face looked, but it clearly wasn't as happy as he was expecting.
Perhaps it's the heat. Might I step outside for a moment? Catch my breath?
Of course.
He bent to kiss my cheek.
Come back soon. I want everyone to see you. And...
he chuckled, the sound coming across ever so slightly mad.
I have an announcement when you get back.
I nodded, thankful for the many lords who always clung to the king like bees to honey. It made it so easy to turn and run. I must have looked ridiculous, dodging elbows and weaving through couples, but it felt like my lungs were about to burst and I had to get out of that room. I wasn't sure where to go. My ladies would find me in my rooms or even my parents' quarters. I could wander the castle, but there were still too many people here, with nobles coming into the palace just to be present for this feast. I turned then, making my way to the side entrance where dozens of carriages were waiting to take their masters home once the festivities had died out. I propped myself up against the side of one such carriage and allowed myself to cry. I told myself to get it all out now. Jameson would expect smiles when I returned. Smiles for the rest of my life. But how would I ever stop crying? Knowing I was going to marry one man while ignoring the distinct calling of my heart toward another.
Hollis?
I turned and saw, under the light of all the torches, that Silas was hiding out here too, and that he had been crying as well. We looked at each other for a moment, both shocked and amused, and then laughed to find one another out here. I wiped at my eyes as he did the same.
I'm a bit overwhelmed by the celebration, I lied.
As am I. He pointed up. A flower crown. I shrugged.
You're leaving soon. I thought this might be the way you want to remember me.
Hollis. He broke his words off with a shudder, looking as if he was building up courage.
Hollis, even in the night, you are still my son, bringing light to my world. I was so thankful for this brief moment of privacy. I hope you and your family finally find peace. And you know you will always have a friend at court, should you ever have need. He stared at me for a long time before reaching into his pocket. I made you something, he said, unfolding a piece of fabric. Not a sword? There was a small chuckle. One day. But for now, I thought this would be fitting. He pulled out a brooch with a huge golden stone that glimmered in the firelight. What is that? It's called a citrine. If you, Hollis Bright, were a star, you'd be the sun. If you were a bird, you'd be a canary. And if you were a stone, you'd be a citrine. I looked at the gem, unable to wipe the smile from my face. It shone even in the darkness, with tiny pears surrounding the base of the whole stone, all set in gold. May I? I nodded. He reached up, taking the bodice of my dress in his hands, the backs of his fingers against my skin. I wish I could give you so much more. Please don't go, I whispered, even though we were alone. At least stay at the castle so I can talk to you from time to time. The king doesn't want me to speak or to think or perhaps even to care. I don't want to be an ornament with no one to turn to. I have to go with my family, he vowed. We're stronger when we're together, and though I'm sure I will ache for you until I die, I could never live with myself if I abandoned them. I nodded. And I could never live with myself if I was the cause for you abandoning them. He brought his lips close and spoke in whispers, raking his fingers through my hair. Come with us, he pleaded. I would love you without condition. I cannot offer you a palace or a title, but I can offer you a home where you will be treasured for exactly who you are. I was left so breathless it was hard to get the words out. And who exactly am I? Don't be silly, he breathed with an easy smile. You're Hollis Bright. You dance and sing, but you ask questions too. You battle with ladies on boats, but you provide for those around you. You love to laugh, but you're learning about sorrow. You are loved by a king, but can see him as a mortal. You met a foreigner and treated him like a friend. In a short time, that's what I've seen. To know everything you are would take years to study. But you are the only person in the world I truly want to know. Tears came again then. Not because of sadness or fear, but because someone had seen me. He saw me and took me as I was. He was right. There was so much more, but good or bad, he was willing to take me. I want to go with you, but I cannot. Surely you understand that. If we were even seen now, my reputation would be ruined. I could never come back to court. Why on earth would you want to? And in that instant, I realized I never wanted to be within an arm's length of a crown so long as I lived. Everything that had been constant in my life now was vividly superfluous. It was intoxicatingly freeing to see it now for what it was, a bunch of empty nothing. Come away, he asked again. Even if your reputation is ruined, you will be beloved by my family. You would make losing my country, my home, everything, all worth it. To know there was one good thing I could dedicate my days to live with and for. You would change my world. I stared deep into the eyes of Silas Eastoff, and I knew. I had to go with him. Yes, love was a part of it, a huge, sweeping part that I'd been terrified to own up to. but that nameless thing drawing in my chest calmed when I decided I would go wherever he did. "Ready the horses," I said, "and tell your family. If I'm not back in 30 minutes, you should run without me."
"Tonight?" he said in shock.
"Yes. There's something I have to do. If it doesn't work, I'm trapped, and you should go for your own safety. If it does, we need to leave now."
Silas nodded.
"I'll be here in 30 minutes.
I reached up, kissing him quickly, and turned to go back into the great room. I couldn't think of anything I'd experienced in my life as frightening as what I was about to do, but there was no way to get around it. I needed to speak to my king. Chapter 26. In the short time I'd been gone, the courtiers had already gotten swept up in the festivities. I had to press myself up against the wall to walk to the head of the room so I didn't get trampled. Jameson was poking one of the lords in the chest, laughing at a joke or comment, loving the mood of the room and the adoration of his people.
"Hollis," he called out upon seeing me return. "I have something I must take care of."
He moved to get the attention of the room, but I pulled his hands down.
"Please, Your Majesty, before anything, I must speak to you in private. It's urgent."
He squinted his eyes, as if he couldn't believe I might have any need that could be considered urgent.
"Of course. Come with me."
He ushered me into his private rooms, closing the door and locking out the fray.
"My Hollis, what is so imperative that we had to speak now?"
I pulled in a breath.
"It has come to my attention that you intend to ask me to be your queen tonight."
He smiled, knowing this was no secret to anyone anymore.
"I had to tell you that I am not prepared to say yes."
The excited fidgeting he'd been doing all night came to an abrupt stop. He stared at me as if I'd taken an axe to the stained glass windows, as if the shards were showering down around us now. Very carefully, he reached up and took off the crown of Estus, setting it on the nearby table.
"I don't understand."
"It's difficult to explain. You have shown me such respect and care, but I'm not ready to live this life."
I held my hand out.
"You once said yourself that this role could change people, and I've...
Jameson's demeanor changed, and he came over, taking me by the shoulders.
"Hollis, my love. Yes, I wanted to announce our engagement tonight, but that doesn't mean we have to rush into a wedding. You can take your time, adjust. That won't change my feelings for you."
I swallowed. But what if my feelings...
His face grew darker. His mouth hung slightly open, and I watched as he menacingly pushed his tongue against the back of his teeth, looking me over.
"Have you been lying to me, Hollis?"
"No. I did love you."
"Did? And now?"
"And now... I don't know. I'm so sorry, I just don't know."
He turned, walking in a circle as he rubbed his hand against his chin.
"I signed a treaty with you in mind. I've sent off drawings for your coin. As we speak, our initials are being embroidered on tapestries to be hung across the castle. And you would leave me?"
"Jameson, please. I don't want to hurt or offend you, but..."
He held up a hand to silence me.
"So what do you propose?"
"I need to leave the castle. If I have shamed you, then you may make up any story you please about me. I will bear it without complaint."
He shook his head. "I wouldn't do that. I fought too hard to preserve your name to tear it down with my own hands."
After a moment of quiet thought, he looked up at me, his face decidedly softer. If you must take your leave of the castle, then do so. I have no fear. You will come back to me, Hollis. I know, without a single doubt, that you will be mine. In the end.
He didn't know that Silas was waiting with the horse. He didn't know that I'd be married as soon as I could arrange it. He had no idea I wanted to distance myself from him and the crown for the rest of my life. And now was not the time to correct him. I will always be your faithful servant, I said, sinking into a deep curtsy.
Oh, I know you will.
When I rose, he nodded toward the door, and I took my leave without hesitation. In the great room, the festivities were in full swing, with roaring laughter and jovial conversations marking the night. I pulled up my skirts, moving as quickly as I could. When a tray passed with cups of ale, I took one and downed it in a gulp.
There you are!
Delia Grace ran up to me, grabbing me as I was trying to move.
Did he do it? Do you have a ring?
Now's your chance, I told her. She dropped my arm.
What?
Now's your chance. You can do it with or without me, I assured her as I rushed from the room. Out among the carriages, Silas was waiting with two dark horses and a furrowed brow. He'd managed to gather a few things quickly and put them in bags across the horses. I hope you're ready to go, I told him. I don't want to wait and see if he changes his mind.
Wait, you told the king? He asked in shock.
I told him something. I can explain along the way. Let's go. Let me help, Silas offered, hoisting me up on my horse. Grabbing a torch and reins of his own, we set off.
Where are we going? I asked.
You're going to laugh when we get there, he promised.
He took off and I followed suit, already laughing with excitement, lacing through the streets of town, rushing past people as their celebrations poured out of the taverns and into the walkways. Every moment I placed between the palace and myself, I found that my breaths came easier, that my smile grew bigger. I knew what I wanted, and he was within my grasp. I would follow Silas Eastoff into oblivion. A minute down the road, my flower crown flew off behind me and landed somewhere in the dark. Chapter 27. Dearest Valentina, before you read another word, please make sure you are sitting. I have no time for codes or intrigues, and I wouldn't want to startle you or the precious baby you are soon to bring into the world. I have left the castle. When you trusted me with information that could have ruined your very existence, I ought to have told you I had my own dangers unfolding in the wings. It's quite possible that I have loved Silas Eastoff since the moment I laid eyes upon him. I didn't know it at the time, but this morning I find myself at his family's new manor in DeHare County, waiting for the rest of the Eastoffs to arrive. Seeing as we left by night on horseback without informing a single member of the court, not even my parents, and the rest of the Eastoffs left calmly on their own, their journey is taking slightly longer than ours. The manor here is in need of attention, but it has several outbuildings for Silas and Sullivan to continue their work in, and they even have a beautiful garden. It is in disrepair, but I'm sure Lady Eastoff won't mind me helping tend to it. She is, after all, soon to be my mother-in-law. Yes, that's right. Silas and I plan to marry as soon as possible, which will be within a few weeks if we can manage it. My next letter will be to my parents to inform them that I am at Abercrest Manor, which happens to be a short ride from my family's own lands. Once my parents are here, I intend to make myself an Eastoff before Jameson can decide he'd like to attempt to woo me back. When I left, he made it clear he would try, and I didn't want to disappoint him. I feel confident that he will find a suitable replacement quickly.
I'd wager money on it.
I hope you are not too disappointed in my choice.
It didn't seem like the Istoffs were too friendly with the royal family of Isolde, and King Quentin made his feelings for them quite apparent. I have kept our friendship a secret from my soon-to-be family for now, but I would like to tell them of it if that would be acceptable to you. As I said, I know this news will be a surprise for you, but I'm sure it will be a great comfort to your king, who didn't seem too delighted at my place in Jameson's life. I know that I am now only a private person, but I am still hoping you will find time to write to me. Of all the things I've said goodbye to recently, you are the one I miss the most. Please write to me as soon as you're able and tell me all your news. You will always have a trusted friend in me, and I hope that I shall always have one in you. Send all letters to my family's manor, Varinger Hall, De Hare County, Corowa. Your dear friend, Hollis. Who are you writing to? Silas asked as I pulled out a new sheet of paper. Friends, family. My parents are next on the list, so they'll know to come home. He shook his head, looking around the empty, dusty manor that his family was going to make new. You left a palace for this. I'd be lying if I didn't say I felt a little embarrassed. I want to give you more, Hollis. I stood, walking over to him in my mud-stained ball gown from the night before. I would live in a shack if it meant you would be there with me, Silas Istoff. I don't want that life, not in the least. All the same, he said, wrapping his arms around me. When I said I didn't want you to worry about your reputation, I didn't know exactly how bad this could be. It's not as if I eloped, I protested. No. You simply left the castle with no chaperone to go with a man who was not your intended, to live in the country while your would-be fiancé, who happens to be the king, deals with the aftermath of your humiliating departure. I grimaced. It does sound rather bad when you say it like that, but I've lived in